Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
Jennifer Kopasz-Rose.
And this is the midweek version of the Fiber Talk podcast, twice weekly for the needlework artists.
Yes.
All right, tonight we have a guest. We got a guest volunteer.
Nice.
Pretty excited. We
haven't had one of those in a while.
I know. And she volunteered without begging. So.
Awesome. Very cool.
Yep. Shelley Milland is going to join us. So we're going to get, she has a bunch of samplers. So she's going to join us. So we get to talk to her about her sampler stitching. And so that'll be fun. 8 o'clock nice. Eastern on the YouTube channel. Join us.
Cool. Is she a regular listener?
Oh, yeah.
Do we know? Okay.
Yep.
Is that her name on, is she like on our live shows? Do I ever,
she's on
ever
our live shows
her?
And I don't know what she uses.
Right.
I forget. But
I didn't know if she's Shelly or if it's something else. Maybe I could be like, oh yeah, I know who that is.
Yeah, I forget what she uses, but yeah, she's regular. So
cool. Well, yeah, for her.
I should rephrase that. She's
so quickly.
She's a regular listener. How about that?
Jeez. Getting a little personal there.
Well, that's why I wanted to rephrase that because it went down a bad path. So anyway, Shelley will be with us tonight, 8 o'clock Eastern time, which is pretty
awesome.
Cool. Yep.
That'll be fun.
Yeah. Then next Wednesday, Kathy Ray will return for some thread talk.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the 26th. Hillary Waters will join us. Now, this is another one of those where she's a Sunday guest. So the 23rd, Hillary Waters is our guest.
Mm-hmm.
And then she will be live with us on the 26th.
Oh, cool.
Yes. And you don't want to miss either one because she embroiders leaves.
On actual leaves.
Yes.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
Yes.
Are they dried out? Are they fresh?
Yes.
Then how do you preserve them afterwards? Because they're going to dry out eventually.
We address that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
awesome.
She presses them. She uses sticker leaves, all kinds of things. And then, she's amazing. Absolutely amazing.
Okay, cool. So interesting stuff.
Yeah. So Hillary will be the guest on the 23rd and then with us on the 26th live. So we get to see photos of her work, and then talk to her about them.
Oh, neat. That sounds fun.
Yeah.
Finding all kinds of people these days that use alternative ground cloths.
Yes. Yeah, I've been looking a little bit for that, trying mm-hmm. to find people who are just stretching the envelope, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Doing something a little different. I've seen the people who have used those fake pumpkins from the stores, and they cut the top out, and then they drill holes, and then they cross stitch on the face of the pumpkin.
Oh, I don't know about those people.
Have you not seen that?
No.
Oh. Yeah,
so like those,
I don't remember.
Those foam, those cheesy uh-huh. foam pumpkins, they actually
right.
take them and do something with them, huh?
Yeah, they take and they cut the top like you would normally with a normal pumpkin. You know, you do it at an angle and stuff so you can put the lid back on. And then they drill holes with the drill in the grid, and then they cross stitch on it. And we'll have to look and see if we can find a picture online. I don't remember who. I just know I've seen it in the past.
Well, that's a new one on me. Interesting.
Yeah.
Hmm.
It was kind of some cool stuff. I think it was somebody who's kind of a known floss tuber Instagrammer, but I just don't remember.
Yeah. Huh. That reminds me when Mary Corbett learned she was embroidering eggs.
Mm-hmm.
Emptied, the
right.
yolk and stuff out of them. But
right.
she, that was an interesting thing because she would then take a little drill and she had to, it was quite a bit of experimentation before she got so that she could actually embroider. But then learning to embroider, drill holes and then, because you put the needle in, and it's got to have somewhere to come out.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like the eggshells are fragile.
Right.
This big old styrofoam pumpkin thing's a lot more sturdy,
But see, that's interesting. Cause, you're talking about people using different media for mm-hmm. ground cloth. Because, you got me walking through a Hobby Lobby or a Michaels or something. How many things do they come up with
mm-hmm.
for decorations that could then be embroidered.
Yeah, I mean, you see a lot of paper mache boxes or little that little the wood, mm-hmm. the laser wood. A lot of that stuff's out now with the holes that you can just do a pattern on.
Yeah.
That's become a popular thing.
Because, see, we had the friend of yours who was on the show, the Tamari.
Michelle.
Yeah, Michelle, the egg-shaped things.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's, you know, I don't think beyond, give me a piece of cloth.
Mm-hmm. I saw a post, somebody on Instagram the other day, you know those placemats, those really cheap, it's like the cupboard liner stuff?
Oh,
that's
yeah.
That's foamy. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But it's, you know how you can buy the placemats?
Yeah.
Somebody stitched on there that they cross-stitched on and said something about the pandemic has been really hard and they desperately need ground cloth and floss because they're stitching on the placemat, the foam placemat. It was kind of funny. Don't remember exactly how it was said, but it was amusing. I was like, oh, that's funny.
Yeah. See, that's, you know, that's interesting because now, yeah, so now my mind has gone to, if you go to Home Depot or Lowe's or something,
mm-hmm.
how many different construction and home DIY materials are there that might be good ground cloth?
Right.
Hmm.
Yeah. Just, you never know.
That you don't,
or
yeah, you
some
just,
people,
yeah.
if you do like a plain knit or even like single crochet, like do a big thing in single crochet, and then it makes nice, even little squares, you know, mm-hmm. that you could cross stitch over that, which I've seen people do also.
Yeah. Hmm. See, you know, people say I've lost my momentum, I've lost interest or whatever. You know, yeah. Go to Hobby Lobby and get a pumpkin.
Mm-hmm. Drill holes in it.
That'll change your, yeah. Yeah, give it a whirl.
Yeah.
Huh. Okay. All right. There's always something. Always something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. That's a good one. So, yeah, so Hillary does leaves. And so the 23rd,
cool.
she'll be the guest, the Sunday guest. And the 26th, she will be with us live. So that'll be fun.
Definitely.
I think that's all the January Wednesday shows right there. Already we have the first month of the year shot in the butt right there.
Wow. Oh, my
think
goodness. I know.
Yeah. And then Sunday's guest, Elizabeth Tieto of Dames of the Needle. So we talk dyeing and designing, dyeing fabric, mm-hmm. like putting color on fabric.
Not, right.
Not just, yeah.
Yeah. We know. We know.
So that, yeah, that's most interesting. Yeah, we got a bunch of people coming up. We got a lot of things recorded. So
cool.
Fun times. Yep. So
yeah, I've done a little bit of dyeing, you know, here and there, dyeing yarn. I even dyed some DMC for one of my projects.
Yeah.
Coffee tea dyed it to make it a little muddy-ish, the mm-hmm. green, for that Alice in Wonderland thing.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Couldn't find a green that I liked, so I took the DMC variegated and then I coffee tea dyed it and just made it a little darker and
yeah,
and I like it. It worked.
Hmm. I never have had an interest in digging into that. It always seems like a lot of mess for.
So yeah, I listened to the Sunday show with the Jude King shot, and she was talking about doing the leaves and the dyeing and the leaves and all that stuff. And I had gotten a quilting magazine a few years ago that had something similar, but it was more like using photo paper and you had to put glass on top and expose it to the sun or something like that.
Mm.
And I was going to do it, but then I was just like, I really started reading on really what you had to do. And I was like, oh man, that's too much work for me. And I really wasn't that interested in having the finished product. You know, I didn't really have a plan. I was like, never mind.
Yeah. Some of those, it looks like fun. And then you dig into it and you go, yeah. Cause that question comes up, right? When I get done making this mess, what am I going to do with it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I kind of like to, make things with kind of a purpose in mind, or at least have some clue. And that was really just for the, I guess, to play around, but I would have had to buy all this stuff. And I was like, I don't want to spend all that money to buy that stuff.
Well,
never
yeah,
mind.
That's just it. Yeah. If you're going to try that, you ought to at least think, well, I'll have something I can hang on the wall or put on a table or something. Mm-hmm. And if you can't answer that question, yeah, you really have to ask yourself, do I want to, all this time and money, unless you just want the experience, but.
Right. But yeah. I didn't.
For a one shot deal. Yeah. Yeah.
No.
Find a class somewhere where the mess can stay there.
Exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, I'll do little dyeing projects like some yarn or a little bit of fabric or something minor, nothing. I don't really get all into it crazy.
Yeah.
Just every now and then.
Yeah. Yeah. Just not been something I've been interested in. So, hey, mm-hmm. I did find a thing. Okay. This was kind of interesting to me. And it also tells me that I really don't have a clue to what's in this room. But Kim at Sassy Jack Stitchery has hanks of NPI silk.
Okay.
And I had her send me she sent me a blue, a beautiful blue.
Mm-hmm.
And, that's a lot of nice blue silk, deep blue, you know. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a hank. It's a full, you know, it's a full metal thing.
How many yards are we talking here?
You know, I don't know.
Oh. Is it yardage amount? Is that how
it's a
much?
Lot. It's a lot. Because
I have seen where they have some hanks that have some serious yardage.
Yeah, I mean, this is a lot here. Just a second. I just happen to have it handy.
Oh.
And, yeah, she was kind enough to send me this. And it's a nice little gift from the Kim.
Nice.
And 45 meters.
Wow. That's a lot.
So that's probably pushing 50 yards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good hunk of chunk.
Think about 50 yards of 8-ply Chinese silk, pure Chinese silk. 50 yards. Just think about that.
That's a lot.
Man.
Nice. So, yeah. Like, you totally need a yarn swift and a ball winder to line that puppy up.
You need something, because if I take this thing out of the sleeve, I've got yarn, I've got silk thread everywhere. Yeah. But pretty cool, because when I saw it, I wanted that blue, because I thought, you know, I'm going to... use that as a single color on a sampler, and I had a couple in mind.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I thought, all right, well, I certainly have ground cloth. And so I'm going to dig out my linens and see what I have. Well, I came across, pardon the crinkle here, because I had it all bagged up, but I'm going to take it out of the bag here. I came across a chart I had that I'd forgotten about, Blackwater Blooms.
Yeah.
Needle Made Designs.
Yep, I saw that. I think you showed a picture or something the other day.
Yeah, I posted a thing about it.
Mm-hmm.
So if I do this on 40-count linen, it'll be the design will be 7.2 by 4.7 inches. So a nice little 5x7 thing.
Put it in a little frame. Oh,
right.
So nice.
Yeah. And so then what occurred to me, and this is something I've been wanting to do, was if I have a lighter colored linen with this deep blue, you know, just, you know, how dark blue on white mm-hmm. looks so good.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I went digging in the drawer, and I had forgotten. I had a gift certificate to a store, and I took that gift certificate, and I just went in one day and bought big chunks of white and off-white linen, 40 count.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember doing that, just saying, all right, I've got this gift certificate. Store's closing. Well, they moved now. It was Welcome Stitchery. It's now moved to Wisconsin.
Oh.
And so they were closing the store. And so, it's you know, I'm going to use this gift certificate, and I'm just going to get me some linen, just in case. You know, not in case, but just to have.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, all right, I want a white and an off-white. And then there were a couple of smaller cuts that were in a basket that were kind of a cream colored.
Mm-hmm.
And so I took those, and they were just in a bag in the drawer. So the antique white 40 count is what I'm going to do this deep blue on, this Blackwater Blooms.
Yeah, nice.
So that, you know, and that's a, it's just all one color and it's not very big. So that should go fairly fast, he said laughingly.
They're fun. Like, you know, my long dog samplers and that modern folk embroidery, they're both just the one color. And it's really nice to just do one color.
Yeah.
I have to color change. And
right.
Yeah.
So that, and so then when I saw that bag that I'd forgotten about of linens, there's a 40 count white linen in there, a big piece. And it resurrected the thought I had had some time ago. You know, when people do antique samplers, they always want them, not always, but often want them to look old.
Right, the linen to be kind of dirty looking.
Right, and then the color's muted, and you know, and there's always that make them look old. And it works for most of them, but in my mind, why try to match the old when you're doing something new? So I've thought many times and had forgotten about the idea, what about taking a piece of white linen and color a colorful sampler, and maybe even change some of the colors and do an antique sampler on white?
Yeah.
I think that would look pretty neat.
I mean, you can do, you don't always have to make it look old. I mean, sometimes it might be fun, but sometimes I'd rather it look fresh.
Yeah.
It just depends, you know?
Yeah, exactly. That's what's
it's like,
in
you don't have
head.
To do it all the same way. Change it up, you know?
Yeah. So that's, and then I remembered when I bought that white linen, that's what I had in mind. And then I got home and got doing other things and it just got to put away and forgot. So now I'm looking about for, in my little collection of charts, what would be a good candidate to do a sampler on stark white, not off-white, not antique white, not cream, but full metal white. I think that I think that would be interesting. And I've not seen that done. I'm sure somebody's done it. I mean, this cannot be an original idea. But
Yeah. Sure they have, but yeah, maybe just you haven't in a while.
Right.
So I think, just pick one that you could even do a single, you want it to be like multicolored or single colored or?
No, I think multicolored. I think you want to, I want to do one that has several colors.
You want bright colors, dim colors?
No, I would be one that has several colors, but they're already, the specced colors are already bright. And then I would, you know, might go through and change any number of them to even brighter colors.
And you're talking like you want like kind of one of those traditional old samplers with the girls' names and stuff?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay, because I'm like, Summer Hill has lots of good bright colors.
Right. Yeah, but she already does that. You know, she already does that. And on, you know, that's like yours. The colors just scream out of there. It's beautiful. But no, this would be an antique reproduction sampler that would normally be charted on, you know, some muddy colored linen, whatever, and then take that and do it on white.
You should look and find, well, I'm sure you have through your stash and just look at the ones and see the ones that like the called for linen is something muddy and then. And so most people do it that way because they usually do what's called for or something similar and then totally change it up. And you could even brighten the colors and like, you could totally, you know, be like, it's this one, but I super freshened it.
Yeah. Cause that I think that fun. Would look, I think that would look pretty neat. And then it raises the question I've had in the past. Did those girls start with white linen? And then over the years, you know, it just yellowed, got muddy, dirty, aged. Whatever. Or did they start with more natural colored linens and then worked out
Or did they use the older linens that were kind of dingy from use and therefore they got to use them for their sampler because they're not going to let them use new expensive linen?
Yeah. That very well could be, yes.
So that's why it might be a little dingy and stained because it's, you know, the leftovers. of the family linens. We got new linens, so you can cut this up and use it for your samplers.
Right. So,
since you're just a little kid and learning, you know.
we're not wasting good linen that costs, you know, in relative terms, a ton of money. Yeah, for you and
right.
And then while you're stitching, you drop it on the floor and then step on it. And yeah, no, we're not doing that.
Grubby little fingers. Maybe it gets dirty from the grubby little mitts, you know?
It could be. It could be. Yeah. Yeah. That idea is rattling around in my head now. I just got to find the sampler that it's going to work for.
Right. I'm sure you've got lots to pick from.
Yeah, I do. I do. That was another little eye-opener when I was looking for this Blackwater Blooms in my boxes of charts. It's like, okay, this is, this is ridiculous.
I know.
But think about that. You know, a full hank of silk, and she has, I'm sure she has several colors.
Oh, yeah, but you like blue, so.
Yep, I do, and this is a really nice blue.
Man, 50, you could do 50
yards.
You could do a lot.
50
of
yards.
8-ply.
Yeah.
Of an 8-ply, that's like.
I know. So like this little Blackwater Blooms at one thread over two. I'll barely scratch the surface.
That's for sure. My goodness. Yeah.
So, yep.
Yeah, you're going to have to find a knitting friend that has a swift and a ball winder to help you break that down.
Is that what we do?
Yeah, that's, remember my big old swift and my ball winder?
Oh, that big multi-peg thing that you wrap things around? Oh, okay.
Yeah, you stick it on that thing or something similar. And since it's silk, you might want to find somebody that has a nice swift, not one of those wacko ones that pulls out and it gets snaggy. Mine doesn't do snagging.
Yeah.
And then you get a ball winder and you wind it up into a ball. And then it pops off and it turns into one of those center pull balls.
Oh, okay.
And then you just pull, or you can pull from the outside or the inside. And, it's all nice and tidy and ready to go.
Hmm. Okay. Well, I think I know a knitter, so we might give that a whirl. I don't know.
Yeah. And you don't have to do pre-cutting or, you know, any of that. That way you can have the lengths be whatever you want at the time.
Yes. Because that was the other thing when I looked at this hank. Was do I want to take this apart and then cut it into standard 18-inch lengths?
I would not do that.
Yeah, I would probably regret that.
Yeah. Because you never know what lengths you want in the future. What if 18 inches is too long and then you end up wasting a bunch, you know?
Right. Yeah, I don't think I want
to. That way you can cut off the sections you need at the time.
Yeah.
That way, if you use it on like a needlepoint project and you want maybe longer bits for something,
right?
You can have longer and you're not like, oh, I already have pre-cut them all, so now I can't use it, you know?
Yep.
Not a big fan of that pre-cutting. I don't know.
Well, I pre-cut, like if I'm doing a sampler, I pre-cut everything. I mean, I pre-cut one skein of everything. So if there are multiple skeins, I don't do the other ones. I've always done that because I know that in that sampler, I don't need any longer, but... If it's a needlepoint project, that's a big mistake to pre-cut. Mm.
Well, yeah, but even if you use, what if you want to reuse those extra threads in some project later and you've pre-cut them?
Yeah.
Handicapped yourself. I don't know. I'm not a fan. I guess because I've just always bobbinated. I always put things in a bobbin or something.
Yeah.
And I like to cut my lengths for what I'm working. I don't know. No.
Well, that is interesting because I put my DMC on bobbins and then cut off what I need. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a different, kind of a different angle in that there is just so much of it.
Yeah. I would find somebody to help you put it into a center pull ball.
Mm-hmm.
A knitter that has a nice ball winder and a nice swift.
Can I just say this hank of silk, deep blue silk thread is gorgeous? Can I just say that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I bet it is. I even thought that hank of DMC 347 the other day. It just looked so good all hunked up like that.
Yep. So that's what went through it. So thanks to Kim for that. If you want your own hank of MPI silk, Kim has it. I'm sure she has multiple colors. But, yeah, going to do this little Blackwater Bloom and then, then I've got this, I'm going to do this on antique white, and then I've got this big piece of it's a big piece, too, of pure white 40-count linen. So I've got to find the right sampler.
Do something big so that you
try
can, like,
yep.
use the bigness of the linen.
Right. So we're going to give this a whirl, I think, see what happens.
That sounds fun.
Yeah. I'll put that on my whip go board.
Yeah.
Yep. So how is, speaking of that, how is the whip go board going for you?
Good. I've done half the days that I needed to on my dawn to dusk. And since I'm kind of not too much in the mood to work on it, I set my timer on my phone for an hour.
Oh.
And, you know, laying, especially you have to lay some of these threads just so, it takes a long time. Yeah. So I've done 4 hours and I'm still just, and then I'm working on one of the, I'm working on 2, 3. So row 2, motif 3. So I was like, okay. And I flipped my thing around so I could stitch it easy. And I had to flip it on the back to attach the thing or something. I started totally on another row.
Oh, no.
So it's not in the right spot, but I'm like, I'm not moving it. It really doesn't matter. Nobody will really know, but it's in the wrong spot. But oh, well.
Oh, well.
I'm not
Creative
moving
license.
It.
Yes.
That's right.
Yep.
So I've been working that on that, setting the timer so that when the timer's off, I'm like, okay, I'm done for the day. Move on. And then working like crazy on my Spring Hill. I want to finish it.
Oh, you're so close on that. Oh,
I know. I've gotten 2 of the smaller sections filled in. I'm working on the third section, and then I have that bottom fill in. And then I have just the sheepies, those little trees, and then that big tree with those crazy leaves.
Yeah.
And then my little nameplate section, and then add the 2 on the date, and then I'm done.
It's beautiful. It really is a beautiful one. Well, yeah, I mean, the design's beautiful in the first place, but your stitching and that DMC really, really
Yeah,
make
I
it
like
sing.
The DMC.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. So I'm excited to get it done because I don't want all the little flosses. Because it came as a kit, all the little flosses are in my little box.
Yeah.
I want them to go to their homes, and I don't want them in there anymore because I want to be able to put other stuff in there.
I see. Okay.
So they need to go away. They have to go back into the big, big DMC box.
Okay. All right.
So they can be put away so other things can come out. And...
Now, did you, on your whip go board, did you put any new projects or are they all existing?
They're all existing ones. And then, like, so for, you know, that Veronique engineer, the French lady, the flower, the rose?
Yes.
So that one, after Spring Hill, that one's going to be the next one that's going to be finished. I'm going to work on it like crazy till it's done, in addition to Whip Go. And so that one will technically be done, but I have 3 more roses that need done. So I'll just leave that space and just start the next one when that comes up.
Yeah.
So it'll be a new start, the same type of project, but, you know, a different project, but... And then some of them are those little cottages of the month.
Yeah.
So it's like a new start, but it's also an existing project, but they're minis.
Yeah. Now, is it just needlework on your board, or did you put some knitting or crochet or something like that?
No. All that's whenever I feel like it, because I don't feel like that every day.
Oh, I see. Okay.
That's just kind of as the mood strikes me.
Okay. Right. I just wondered about that. Yeah. I've been working on Sarah Parr and, because I'm waiting. Well, I finally got the silk gauze cause I have new projects on. So one of the new projects is on silk gauze. And so I got the piece of silk gauze. So now I got to mount that on some cloth, sew that on some cloth. Holy smokes. That's small. Oh, that's small.
I know. I have some in like the, it's Erica Michaels kit for the strawberries. I haven't worked on it yet, but I have some and I've looked, it's tiny.
Yeah. Well, and Beth started one, and she said I was definitely going to want something black or dark behind it to be able to see.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, there's no doubt about that. But man, that is really small.
Yeah.
So we'll be interested. Now, the other thing, and I got to find out, maybe you know, is this came, the piece I got came to me folded.
Oh, uh-huh.
So can you, do you know if you can, do you know if you can iron out the folds, or?
I'm sure you could just put a cloth over it. So yeah, if you don't burn it, you know, a protective ironing cloth.
Yeah.
Just another piece of linen or something.
Yeah.
Should be fine.
Cause I don't like creases. Mm-mm.
Right.
Right. So I got it out of the envelope and just laid it out, thinking it might relax a little bit, but that was, yeah, that's not happening.
Uh-huh.
I can tell that's not going to. But yeah, this is going to be an interesting experience.
Yeah. I don't know. You know, I really want to finish stuff that I've got started. So I don't know, unless it's something that's on my WIPCO board, that'll be a new start. That's kind of, you know, an ongoing project or an ongoing group of projects.
Yeah.
I don't know how much new I'll start this year. I'm going to resist because I have too many whips, and I want these things done and displayed. And I also need to work on FFOing my stuff.
Oh, yes. There's that. Yeah.
I've got to get my beanie gear.
That little problem.
And it's not stuff that's hard. It's stuff, yeah, I know how to do. I mean, I've just got to, you know, get my brain like, hey, finish it. It's not difficult.
Yeah.
Take you know, you've been procrastinating for days and weeks and months on it. It'll take you 30 minutes. You,
yeah,
just know that's how it'll be.
Yep. So, and you go, why didn't I do this 2 months ago? Yeah.
Right. I know. Right. I'm bad about that. I have that problem.
Yeah. Well, I don't have the finishing skills, so, but I don't finish that many things, so it's not like it's a threat at all. Yeah. Yeah. You know, like Hannah Longstreth. Now, that's been rolled up on a pipe since I finished it. And every now and then, Mark and I will mention, one or the other will mention, we need to get that over and get that framed. And then, mm-hmm, you know, then we get on with other things and never think of it. I really would like to get that framed because there's a place on the wall specifically for it. So,
right. You forget, or you're like, oh, it was just Christmas, so we spent a lot of money then, so
yeah,
let's wait.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's that needs to go get framed. We know we're taking it and everything, just haven't done it. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. Yep.
Yes, I know. I have that. I mean, that Beatrix Potter thing that I have.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's been in there for years. I need to get it framed.
Yeah. But I'm liking the WIPCO thing. I'm, I got, I'm doing 7 hours on each one. So I, mm-hmm, think I have 5 hours done on Sarah Parr. So 2 hours in the evening, and I'll have that done. And then I am going to put that away. I'm going to.
Oh, you are.
Yeah, I am going to set that aside and work on other things. That's the other thing I've decided, is whether it's on the WIPCO board or not, I'm going to consciously make an effort to work on different things.
Okay, because I thought you wanted to get that one done for your daughter.
I do.
Right.
But I'm going to.
Feel
I'm
like just, you need a break.
Yeah, I need a break. I need to do something else. And I really want to finish getting the Kathy Andrews King's Pineapple mounted on a slate frame. I want to experience, mm-hmm, that and then stitch on that to see what that's like. So,
right.
And I got halfway done with that and then got interested in Sarah Parr. And so I want to.
Because that, now those are both on your WIPCOs this month?
Right. No. The other is Prince of Peace. That's on silk gauze. Yeah.
That's right. Pineapple and a new with P.
Yeah. It's Prince of Peace. Yeah. That's the silk gauze one. So I got to set that up. And then, of course, now what are we? 10, 11 days into January already, and, mm-hmm, I don't even have it set up. Jeez.
Yep, that's like, yeah. That's why, you know, could always move it to another month if it's too much pressure.
Yeah, I may have
switch it to something that's already ready to go, since it came in late.
Yeah, That's what
I'll
mark
on stress.
That's what I mark on the thing. Came in late. Yeah.
Like, just switch it. Who's gonna know? Who cares?
It's interesting having the WIPCO board because I keep it right here on my table.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a reminder, and I've been pretty diligent. So I'm pleased with that. I mean,
nice.
Most people go 5 hours, and it's, you know, you're already halfway through January. That's pretty poor, but for me, that's pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, you don't feel like working on it every day. Like, I didn't even start mine until maybe the 6th.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, it's already the 6th. You better get on the WIPCO. You should at least look and see what's on. I hadn't even looked. I'd made my board and just forgot about it.
Oh. Yeah. So, yeah, no, I got to get going. And I mean, I just, you know, time comes and goes for me. Sometimes I have a lot. Sometimes mm-hmm. I don't have any.
And, right.
Yeah. And we're still trying to do things here around the house. So on weekends, I need to spend, like Saturday, I had wide open, but I spent most of it doing projects around the house. So
yeah,
those got to get done too.
Yeah, it's winter here, so there's not much like outside to do.
Mm.
There's really not much inside. Well, there is stuff inside I could do, but I'm just not going to.
Well, this is all inside stuff. I'll tell you, that's one of the beauties of a townhouse. I'm already appreciating. I've yet to shovel a lick of snow. We haven't had any here. We haven't had any here, but back in Illinois where we lived, I would already mm-hmm. been down that driveway several times. And
oh my gosh. Urian had to shovel snow the first time. We finally got shovelable snow this last weekend. So he was home. He got snow duty. I didn't even go out.
Yep. No, I have not missed that part, but doing the stuff inside, and you know, it's not horrible doing stuff inside because it makes the house nicer, but
mm-hmm.
it does take time. So,
yeah.
So do you, you have more free time, I guess I would say, than I do. Do you stitch more at different times of the year, or are you pretty consistent?
Oh, I'm probably pretty consistent. I mean, it depends on how much I don't know. I'm pretty consistent.
Yeah.
Sometimes, though, like during the summer, spring, summer, and fall, on the weekends, we'll go do a day out and we'll go hiking or whatever, and we'll be gone for the whole day. And I don't take anything with me.
Yeah.
To do. So, and sometimes even that night, if I get home, I'm just too tired. So I'll not do anything for the whole weekend.
Yeah.
That tends to happen in the summer, where in the winter, it doesn't,
because mm-hmm.
we don't go out and about.
Right. Yeah.
Because, you know, in the summer, we have Sophie weekends where we plan, we take her.
And okay.
We go do all the fun things she likes to do and travel all over the state. And
yeah.
We have fun with the dogs.
Yeah. Yeah, because I think I do more in the winter months. Well, I mean, mm-hmm. in the summer, I mean, other than this past summer. I'm out riding my bike, and especially on weekends, you know, that's the chance to go for 3 and 4 hour bike rides. And so, you know, and then when you come back from that, you just want to sleep, give me food and food and sleep. And, I have a kind of a semi hard rule that if I'm really tired, I don't stitch because invariably it has to come out. It just comes out again.
Yep.
I did that last night. I was doing over one on Sarah Parr. And I got 3 words done. I'm going, man, I am happening. I turned around, turned it over. I had a big old knot,
uh-huh.
you know, that I didn't feel when I was stitching. It was a big old knot. And then what had happened, because it's all so close together, is I'd snagged it with threads from the other words.
Oh, uh-huh.
It's just because I'm tired and I'm just not, you know, I'm kind of halfway paying attention. So,
yeah.
So half of what I stitched came out. It's like,
It wasn't. So like sometimes if I find I have a knot and I look at the front and you can't tell, I will tack it down on the back.
Right.
If I can save it and not have to take it out, I do that.
Right.
I don't take it out.
No. And I've done that too. And I will do that.
Yeah.
I will do that just so it keeps everything tight. No,
and
this
just
one
to make sure it doesn't, you know, as long as it doesn't show through.
Yeah.
And as long as the stitches on the front look okay, you know, and I fiddle with it a little to see if it'll come loose. And if it doesn't, then I pull it in the back and I tack it down.
Yeah. Now, this wasn't just your simple knot. This had become the beginnings of a micro ball of thread. It was it was definitely going to be a bump.
Oh, dear.
So and cutting out over one stitching out of 40 count. Oh, geez.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So that was, you know, lesson number 506. Do not stitch when you're tired.
Yeah, I don't stitch if I'm tired. I will do other things. That's why I like at night is when I do a lot of my yarn spinning.
Oh, okay. Can't, yeah.
Or maybe crochet or something.
Yeah.
But I typically don't stitch at night, especially if I'm tired. It's a big no. Because yep. I'll mess it up somewhere or it can induce a headache.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm tired and I'm straining my eyes too much,
yep.
Then I can end up getting headachy, which I do not want.
Right. Right.
Got enough problems there as it is.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. No, it, I don't know how many times I've done it, but I knew last night when I sat down, but I wanted to work on this. Because I'm trying to get the second line of over one done so that I can go stitch another motif. And mm-hmm. I wanted to get it done.
Yeah.
The little voice said, you're going to screw it up and you're going to have to tear something out. And no, I'm not. I got it. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Out it came. So, and last night, that was one where once I got it out and got all the fuzz off and got the linen back to normal, I didn't even, normally I'll start a thread. No.
Right.
No, forget it.
Get it prepped.
No, I'm done. Just covered it up, put it away. That's it. No. So.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. Because you'll like, then you'll mess up that, take it out. You're tired or frustrated.
Yeah.
Just, it's time to put it down. Yeah.
I learned my lesson. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I sure hope I have enough of this color. I'm pretty sure I do.
Gosh.
But, you know, that's the other thing. You tear something out three or four times. Do I have enough of a skein? I think I do, but.
All right.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Yeah. Yeah. No, also on my spring hill, in the bottom part, there's those little tiny flowers that jump around.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
I'll have to send a picture. I just, because it's all going to be covered over with that solid stitching, I just jump. Jump. I do not tie off.
Just carry your thread. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And it's like, we're talking some carrying. It's far.
Yeah.
But it's all going to be covered over. It's all going to be whipped down. And I don't know how many people do that. I don't know if that's against the rules, but that's what I do.
Well, see, I don't think that, I don't care if it's against the rules or not. If you're going to me, the carrying. The two factors that dictate carrying is one, obviously, can you see it from the front? If you can, then don't do it.
Right.
But if that's not the case, then the next question for me is, if I carry, am I going to have a thread in the back that could easily get snagged?
Right.
Like with my finger or something when I'm handling it. And if I can, then I either need to fish it under some other threads, which I'll do. Or in the situation like you know you're going to come back with solid stitching and cover that up and it'll never be a factor.
Right.
So for me, that's it. And if it's neither of those, then I end it off and start, you know, properly. But
right. Yeah, me too.
Yeah. Oh, but yeah. Situation like that, carry it 10 feet if you have to. Yeah.
If I can get away with it, man, I carry. I'm like. But, you know, strategically. But, yeah, I'll have to send a picture. I've got these big old.
Yeah, but it's going to be covered up, see? And, you know,
yeah,
or,
totally.
Or I'll, if I have other stitching that I can weave it under, then I'll do that.
Mm-hmm.
Because
I
look at it, all right, look at it this way. How much thread am I going to use, basically throw away, starting and stopping a new thread?
Exactly.
And,
Yep. I thought the same thing because I'm like, if I carry it that far, I'll use less thread than if I stop it and then start it. It's like, just weave it under.
Right.
And then you don't have the whole hassle. It makes a less lumpy back.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
I think that.
Well, I mean, there's legitimacy to it. It's just, for me, it's just the biggest thing is if you're going to have something that gets snagged, because all I think about is it goes to the framer. And there's this, there's this long, and they snag it, and then you get a phone call.
Right.
It's like, oh, geez. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
so for me, that's that's a big no-no. If you don't have that, then
I guess I've always carried it under in the back if it's going to be long. I never thought about really somebody snat. Well, I just thought that to keep it tight. And also to make sure you don't pull it too tight, because, you know, or have it too loose. That keeps it at the right tension.
Yeah.
Because if you go across the back and you don't secure it under something, you could either pull too tight and then have a pucker, like your fabric isn't going to lay flat and it pulls stitches funky and too tight, or it'll be loose and it'll come loose and look funny.
Yeah.
So I think that was always my thinking more than getting snagged.
Yeah. See, I just figure with my luck.
Oh, you've done more needlepoint than me, though, and that stuff, you do tend to have more snagging possibilities on the back because of the way you do some stitches.
Yeah, yeah.
You have big carries on the back. It's not really a carry. It's just part of the stitch.
Right, right, yeah.
It kind of mirrors the big carries on the front.
Yeah.
You have to be more careful.
Oh, definitely, yeah. And I think more, I know I'm more careful simply handling it.
Right.
You gotta watch that. Yes.
Yeah, I've noticed that. You look at some of the stuff on the front, you have to now make sure you don't snag it or poke it, because those are long pieces laying all nice.
Right.
You don't want to mess it up, you know?
But yeah. No, the finisher, the framer, that long 6-inch carry you had there. Yeah. I snagged it with my scissors and.
Oh no.
Yeah. And now this came undone, and yeah, I send it back. I'll fix it. So,
oh boy!
Yeah, no, that's kind of, those are kind of my two rules for carrying. Yep.
Yeah.
So, and I was thinking, no, you wouldn't have that. Like if you had a dark thread that was being covered up, that you carried and it was being covered up, but it would be covered in the front too. So you're not going to have a show through.
Mm-mm.
So yeah, you can do.
You shouldn't, unless it was like you're carrying a red and then doing a white over. You might.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
You got to be a little careful with that.
Yeah. I'd think three times before I did that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Even sometimes, have you ever, I've been stitching and then the tail, I keep my tails pretty short on the back,
mm-hmm.
but sometimes you're then stitching next to it and you'll pull a little fuzz from that tail through the front.
Yes.
And you have to flip it over and fish it out.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've done that because I'll pin stitch and I won't trim off the tails. Like I'll go through at some point, I'll just flip it over and just sit there and just trim off tails.
Oh.
And because I just don't bother with that. I try to stitch from the front anymore these days as much as I can.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I've had that happen too. What is that? Oh, geez, that's a tail. So then, yeah, you go in the back and pull it back out or figure out how to get it out of there. Yeah.
Or I've been stitching and I've caught, especially when my Persian cats, you'll catch a cat hair on the thread. Or there's this one sweater. I can't wear this sweater when I'm stitching anymore because it's very fuzzy and it's dark blue. And all of a sudden my color, no matter what color it is, suddenly has a different color to it. And I'm like, what's going on there?
Sweater shedding.
Yeah. And like, you have to kind of unstitch a little because you got to get it out because it changes the color.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, especially a dark blue fiber.
Yep.
And you,
hard to ignore that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's like, even like on a green or something, it'll just change the tone.
Uh-huh.
Because it blends, and you have to unpoke it, yeah. So now I can't wear that sweater. It's a nice sweater. I like wearing it in the winter, but not if I'm stitching, because it's a fuzz monster, and it gets in my stitching.
She has to put on a hazmat suit over her sweater.
I know, right? It's crazy.
I'm not a sweater wearer, so that's not a problem. But I didn't think about that. Shedding sweaters,
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's not just animals. It's clothing too.
Yeah, that section right there, it's really a yellow. It's a really bright yellow, but yeah, my sweater shed.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes I've not caught it right away, and then I go back and look. I'm like, why is that color? Yeah. And I'll see it, and most of the time I can get out the magnifier and very gently pick out that hair.
Right, right.
I've been able to do it. But yeah, my Persian cats, man. Now, none of my animals have ever bothered any of my stitching. I leave it out. I leave it on the sofa. None of the animals have ever bothered my knitting, my stitching, my crochet, any of it. I don't know if I'm just really lucky or if I just kind of somehow train them not to mess and they just know not to. I don't know.
I think you're extremely lucky. I really do.
Yeah. But I mean, that's like five cats and a dog that have all.
You're really lucky. I mean, I'm surprised
the cats. Not messed with my business.
I'm surprised the cats haven't had thread all over the house. Yeah.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
And they would lay next to me, and even one of my cats would lay real next to me halfway, kind of, you know, I had my big lap thing, so he's partially underneath it. They don't mess with it at all. They don't paw at it. Nothing.
Well, you're really lucky, because the last two cats we had, who I left something out one time, and we came home, and, oh, you got to be kidding me. I just strung everywhere, yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I've never... None of my animals have ever done that.
You're lucky.
But they've always had tons of their own toys and cat posts and stuff. Maybe, I don't know. Yeah,
you're lucky.
I guess so.
You're lucky. Yep, you win.
The only thing Sophie ever did when she was a puppy, one knitting needle, she did it one little bite, and it has a, and I was able to sand it. So it's really not even a problem.
Oh, so she actually dinged it. Ooh.
A couple of little, it's a wooden one. So it has a couple little bite marks, but not bad. And I was able to sand it and it doesn't snag. So it's no big deal.
Yeah. Weird left turn. When it comes to knitting, are metal or wood needles better? Or it depends?
It depends. Ah. I have found with cotton, metal is better.
Okay.
Cotton or linen, because it slides better. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it can be too slippery with wool. When I was first learning, I liked wood better because it didn't slip off so easy.
Oh.
But then as I've gotten better at it, I can do either. And I prefer metal for my socks. I use a tiny 1 millimeter needle. And but I want them to slip easier. But when I was first learning, you don't want it to slip so easy. So I used wood.
Okay.
But definitely, like when I was knitting, if you knit cotton to do like dish rags or to do any, you know, anything with cotton, definitely metal or aluminum or nickel or whatever.
Yeah.
It's much less stressful on your hands than wood because it slips nicer because the cotton on the wood does not want to slip.
Yeah. Hmm. Okay.
Yeah. So I have both.
Yeah. I had no doubt.
I've got a lot.
No, I was just curious. So it really, it depends, but it in a lot of ways depends on the yarn you're using then.
Yeah. The yarn, your skill level.
Yeah.
What you prefer.
Yeah. Okay.
So,
still
yeah.
not going to take up knitting. It's not happening.
No. Spinning?
No interest. Nope.
I know spinning. You want all those awesome woody tools with the
spinning. That little demonstration you gave us, I tell you, that's tempting. Yeah. Oh, that's that's a collector's nightmare, that little world. Oh, man.
Only if you get out of control.
Yeah. Well, that's why I'm not going to start right there. No.
Oh, my goodness.
No.
Yes.
No, it was that and then weaving.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. Holy smokes. Those weavers, serious weavers. Because it isn't just the weaving machine itself. Like everything else, there's a whole bunch of other accessories that goes with it.
Oh,
that,
yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man.
There are a lot of accessories. And depending on what kind of loom you have and
right,
all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. No. No. No, 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 no.
That's so funny.
All right.
So I've got one.
What?
Oh. I got one of those bobbins plied up into a 3-ply, and the other one I'm working on. And when I get them both done, I'll soak them, thwack them, and dry them, and then I'll show. So I didn't ply them together. I plied them separately.
Okay.
So I'll show the two very different yarns that came from the exact same bat of fluff.
Yeah, I'll be most curious to see that. Yeah, it's fascinating. Yeah. Fascinating little world. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Lots of fun.
All right. We better stop there.
Okay.
Wednesday night, Shelley Milland will be our guest. Oh, some very nice stuff. Oh, very nice stuff. Going to enjoy talking about samplers with Shelley.
Sounds
and,
fun.
And Kathy Ray next Wednesday and Hillary Waters the Wednesday after that. So there we have it.
Awesome. Look forward to it.
Yep. It'll be fun.
Yes.
Thanks for listening.
All right. Bye.